way to get missionaries in their own foreign tongue back to their countries. And so those are things that Dixie Jackson offering will do. So just pray about it. And we have no go. If the Lord puts it on your heart, you want to give to it, all of it will go for Arkansas missions, such as BCM's new church plants, new church plants in the state of Arkansas, brand new churches that are in rural areas or in areas that of a side of a town or city that everything has moved away, and they planted new churches there. And so these funds will be used for those kinds of things. And there's a list inside the bulletin on those things. And so it's just an opportunity for us to give back to a different type of missions. And if you'd like to do that, then you pray about it. That'll be a wonderful thing to do. And then the next week, we're going to have real live missionaries that are supported by churches. And they're going to be here talking about Ukraine and those kinds of things. So we want to keep missions on the top of our list. And we love those people, and we appreciate them much. Look with me, 1 John chapter 1, and we started this last week, and we're going to look at verse 4 and then start. We finished with the 4 last week, and we'll talk about verse 4 and do a few verses this morning. Verse chapter 1, verse 1, that which is from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon with our hands, and handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested into us, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Okay, just time out real quick. As you know, John's writing this because there was a false doctrine, false preaching, there was false prophets, there was false preachers, teachers. In John's day, Gnostics was the religion. Gnosticism had come into the local churches. In John's day, they believed that Jesus never lived on earth. He wasn't born as a virgin. He never had a physical body. He never was in the form of flesh. And they simply backed that up, tried to justify that, saying the reason why Jesus never did that was because the physical body is evil. Well, John just spent 3 verses there saying, look, I don't know what this new religion is, this new teaching is. It's false doctrine. And he says, because I'm going to give you an eyewitness that I've seen Jesus with my own eyes. He said, I've heard of Jesus with my own ears. And he said, I handled Jesus with my own hands. And he said, not just me, but he uses the word we. So it was plural. People had heard Jesus in his physical body. They had seen Jesus in his physical body. They had handled Jesus in his physical body. Jesus showed up on Easter Sunday morning, John chapter 20. He showed up. The disciples were up in the upper room. They were feared for their life. The body of Jesus was gone. And Jesus shows up in that meeting, that morning. And he shows them, he said, hey, here's the nail prints in my hands, and here's the nail print in my side, and here's the nail prints in my head. Handle me, make sure you understand this me. They handled him, they saw him, they had heard him, they were eyewitnesses, even though false doctrine and false teaching was going on. John said, hey, you can be assured that he is who he is. And then look at verse 4, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And now when you talk about joy being full, John is writing here encouraging believers concerning this thing called joy. He said, man, you don't have to be having molly grubs. You don't have to have your head hung down. You don't have to be all upset about all this stuff you're hearing. Jesus is alive. Jesus came. He was born of a virgin. He came and he lived 33 years. He lived a sinless life. Hey, you can simply have encouragement today. You can simply understand the truth of the Word of God. You can understand we have seen it, and you can have joy in your heart. You can have joy that's complete, joy that's full, joy that fills your life. And that's what he's talking about as Christians. Man, we ought to be that. I know the world's upside down. I know every time you turn on a channel on TV or the radio on, you read the newspaper. I mean, if you're not careful, you can become discouraged. You can think, man, it's over with. Things have never been this bad. And John is saying, hey, you ought to have joy.
Here's what Scripture says about joy in Psalm 16. It says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. If you've got the Holy Spirit living in you, dwelling in you, you've been saved, you're a child of God, hey, you've got God's presence there. And the Bible says if we have His presence, then hey, then we have fullness of joy. Now, our joy is never dependent upon circumstances. I've been a bachelor this week. Bad circumstances. My wife's in Memphis, and I'm going to get her today. And she's been there, and she volunteered at Shepherd's Haven Ministries last week with special needs. And that's what she did for the weekend. And it, her and some of her girlfriends went down to Florida. And I'll just assure you this. I miss her more than she misses me. Let me just tell you that. But that's a circumstance. If we're not careful, we can get all like, poor me. There she is on the beach. There she is with her girlfriends. There she is on a girl's trip. Poor me. Hey. We ought to have joy. We ought to be filled with joy. Our cup should run over with joy because He's alive. Because He died for us. He resurrected and defeated death. And we ought to have that joy. Heard the story about Billy Bray. Billy Bray got saved. His life was transformed. He went from living life sad, being mad, just being just content with his life, to meeting the Lord Jesus Christ, accepting Him as his personal Savior. And Billy Bray, his life was transformed. He went from sad and mad to being glad. He began to be happy and joyous all the time. His friends, his neighbors, his family couldn't understand the transformation. I mean, all his life he was down. All his life he was an excuse maker. All his life he wasn't happy. And all of a sudden his life changed. Someone said to Billy Bray, they suppose you die, Billy. And suppose what you say you believe is not true. And Billy, just suppose that you live this life of joy and gladness and being filled and positive and optimistic. Just suppose that it's wrong and you're not even saved. And you end up in hell when you die, Billy Bray. Just suppose that's the case. What are you going to do? And Billy Bray said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He said, Jesus has already been so good to me. He has been wonderful in my life. He has been real to me personally. That if when I die, it's not true. If when I die, then I was misled. I will tell you on my way to hell, I will shout all the way there. And when I get there, Billy Bray said, I'm going to go down the streets of hell shouting, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He's been so good to me on earth that, hey, I still deserve to praise Him. And Billy Bray said, and I'll tell you what will happen if I go to hell. He says, man, the devil's going to come up to me and said, hey, Billy, we can't have that down here. No way. We're going to send you to heaven. We ought to have that joy. We ought to have that contentment. We ought to have presence of the Lord in our life. And that's exactly what John's teaching here. It's what he's writing here. It's what he wants from us, is to have the joy of the Lord in our life. And we only get that through knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. We get that through having the indwelling Holy Spirit of God that lives inside of us. And so John starts off in John chapter 1, verse 1. He says, hey, these things I write unto you, that Jesus is real, there's no doubt about it. He was real eternally. He was real historically, and He's real experimentally. My question is, before we get into verse 5, he said, my question to you is, do you know Him personally? Hey, church, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ personally? Now, in verse 5, look what it says. We're in verse 5, chapter 1. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. And remember, he's still piggybacking off of this false teaching, false preaching, false doctrine of Gnosticism. that says that he's not real, that he's just a spirit, that he's never lived on earth, that he was never he never indwelt a human body, a physical body. And so he's getting down to the bottom of it still, and that he's saying that, hey, I've got a message, and I want to share with you that Jesus is life. Light. Now, he's a light. He's a light of the world. And he's talking from past experience, personal experience. He's talking from eyewitness experience. And he says, John is fixing to give, teach, preach an important vital message about the character of Jesus, who they said never lived on earth. And he says, starts off with that Jesus is life. Now, three times in the book of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, which we'll be studying on Sunday mornings, here's Brad at his church, three different times, he writes this same thing. He writes this, that John writes that God is light, God is love, and God is a spirit. And we'll break those down when we get there, but this morning we're looking at this area where it says, he said, let me tell you about this Jesus. Let me tell you, he is light. He is light. And he says, and light enables, he uses that word, hey, that he's light. And light, as you know, enables us to see for ourselves. You know, you have a choice in the matter. You know, you have a free will. You know that whosoever shall, that hey, and so we have a choice to make. And he said, hey, he's light. It enables us to see for ourselves. Through his word, we see by faith. We see by faith of what God's word says. And so God has given through his writer here, the John, the apostle, he's given us some self-revelation to we as humans. And so not only does it say in verse 5, did you notice that it says God is light and in him no darkness at all. Now, the background insight is the world that John lived in that day. The world that was the outside world of the local church and outside Christianity that John lived in that day, it was a world full of idol worship. It was a world full of images and statues that people worshiped. There were false gods everywhere in John's day. And people stopped and they worshiped them. They bowed down to them. They honored them. In John's day is the way it was. And so John just declares here in verse 5, he says, as light, he's light, and in him there is no darkness. Now, Spradling understanding this morning, what he's saying there is this. He's saying that the Lord Jesus Christ was absolute perfection. There was no blemish in his life. Absolute perfection. There was no stain in his life. He was absolute perfection. There was no spot in his life. Hey, absolute perfection. There was no mark of sin in his life. He said he was light and there was no darkness. The Greek verse, the Greek word here says, it's a double negative. You ready? It said, it reads this way. There is no darkness in him, none whatsoever. And it just emphasizes that, hey, he was light and there was no darkness. He was pure. He was holy. He was righteous. And there was no darkness, no stain, no blemish, no sin whatsoever. In him, there was no moral imperfection is what John's telling us. There was no fault, no failure, no falsehood. There was no deceit, no deviation, no dishonesty in this one by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, he wrote over in the Gospel of John, his other book, in chapter 3, verse 19, the light is coming to the world, and people love the darkness rather than light. And so God understood the nature of man. God understood that. And so the world was dark and men was dark. And so he sent a light of pureness, a light of holiness, a light of righteousness. And there's no darkness in him. Look at verse 7. But we walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son cleanses us from all sin. Here's a teachable moment. There's two relationships with God here in 1 John. First, there's sonship, S-O-N. There's sonship when we enter into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It all comes through the new birth experience. You remember John chapter 3? God's talking to a man by the name of Nicodemus. You remember John chapter 3. Jesus said, you must be born again. And in John chapter 1, he writes, he says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe. And so it's a relationship of sonship. If you're a male, a female, if you're a mom, a dad, if you're a husband, a wife, if you're a man, a woman, a child, hey, you enter into a sonship. You enter into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ upon the new birth that he talks about. Sonship relationship is one which becomes eternal. And here's the good thing about it. It can never be broken. Never. Sonship can never be broken. Now, Cheryl and I know, you know, we have two children. We got a son, we got a daughter. My son's name is Ronald. We call him Ronnie. My daughter's name is Miranda. We call her Bay, B-A-Y. So I've got two children. Cheryl and I have been married. We've been married for 7 years before God allowed us to conceive and have our own two children. And so we've got a son and daughter that are grown now. And now we have not always agreed on everything. Our family of four, we've just never always agreed on it. I wish I could stand here and tell you that we've always agreed on everything, but we haven't. And maybe issues and decisions and choice that was made on our behalf as parents or their behalf as children was never on the same page. That's happened in the Bradford family, I'll just tell you. No doubt, when they disagreed with their dad, it broke my heart. And probably when I disagreed with my parents, it broke their heart. Now maybe you can relate to that, because most people can. But I'll tell you that even though it broke my heart, it never broke the relationship of me being their father and they being my children. And that's exactly what John's teaching here. He said, hey, you become into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you are a son and a daughter, it's sonship of him. And you might get out of fellowship, you might disagree on this, you might do your own thing, you might make a bad choice, you might make a mistake like we all have, but it never breaks the sonship relationship. It never breaks it. It breaks fellowship, which we'll see in a second. It never breaks that relationship. Now let me just tell you about birth. Something you probably already know. Only one man ever, his name was Adam, was created without the aid of a human man or a human woman. He's the only one that's ever been created without the aid of a biological father, a biological mother. God created Adam out of the dust of the ground. There's only been one woman ever in the history of the world that her name was Eve, and she was created, don't miss it, with the aid of a man, Adam, his rib, God used, but without the aid of a biological mother. Only Eve, Adam and Eve. Jesus himself is the only one ever born the way he was born. He was born without the aid of a human biological father, but with the aid of a human biological mother. The Holy Spirit was his God, and he was conceived through the Holy Spirit that came upon Mary, a virgin, and she simply, so you got Adam, you got Eve, you got the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, outside the realm of those three, every single person here today every single person in the world today, every single person from Adam and Eve's kids until the very most recent child born somewhere in the world today, Bible scholars tell us that probably since Adam, you ready? There's been about 75 billion people born. That's Bible scholars. That's their estimate. 75 billion. Today there's 7 to 8 billion people in the world's population. Can I just tell you about them? Every single one of those 75 billion, if that's the number, every single one of the 7 to 8 billion people that's on the world's population today was born the same way. They all had a biological father. They all had a biological mother. It's a universal process in human birth. If you're German, if you're Chinese, if you live in Oklahoma or you live in Arkansas, if you live in Romania or Alaska or Iceland, every single person born humanly are born the same way universally. It's a biological daddy, a biological mother. Now hold it, just hang on just a minute. You might not know who your biological daddy is. You might not know who your biological mom is. But universally, that's how we all was birthed human. It's the same way spiritually. There's not one way to be spiritually saved and another way to be spiritually saved and this kind of way to be spiritually born into the family of God. There's one way. It's universal, spiritual, universal. Everybody's saved. Everybody's born again. Everybody comes to the family of God the same way. And that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, Acts 4:12 says, it simply says this. It says, there's no other way. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no name under heaven whereby you must be saved. Saved is not a Baptist word. Saved is not an Armenian word. Saved is a Bible word. And Scripture tells us there's one way and only one way to become a child of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the Bible way. That's going through the Lord Jesus Christ. You come to a place in your life where you realize you're a sinner. You can't save yourself. I can't save myself. And Jesus said the wages of sin is death. You have to pay a death penalty for sin, and Jesus steps up, Jesus stepped in, Jesus became your substitute, Jesus became my substitute, Jesus became universally the substitute of the world of sin. For whosoever will realize you're a sinner, realize that they've done wrong, we've got stains upon our lives, sins upon our lives, mistakes upon our life, unrighteousness upon our life, and we're full of darkness, and lo and behold, we'll just accept we're a sinner, realize we're a sinner, confess we're a sinner, and ask God to forgive us and repent from that. Hey, all of a sudden you're born again through the, and He gives you the power to become the sons and the daughters of God. So first we see two relationships. One, we see a sonship. We see a sonship. The relationship between me and my children never stopped being the relationship because we had a disagreement. Because I was right and they were wrong. They were wrong and I was right. Or vice versa. It never did. But what? So the sonship, that relationship stays intact. It stays intact eternally. Once saved, always saved. That's not a Bible. That's not a Baptist thing. That's a Bible thing. The sonship. Now, here's what can happen. And it happened with me and my two children in my life. The sonship relationship can't be broken. But fellowship within the relationship can be broken big time and for a long time if you don't get it worked out. The Bible says in verse 7, if we walk in the light, if we walk in the light, He's talking about the relationship we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. If we walk in the light, the New Testament metaphor to describe conduct is the word walk. If we walk in the light. Walk, when you walk, it expresses a notion of behavior, conduct, lifestyle. If we walk in the light, if someone claims to be in fellowship with God, yet he, she, they, we, us, yet they walk not in the light. They say they walk in the light, but their behavior says something different. They say they walk in the light, but their conduct says something different. They say they walk in the light, but their actions are contrary to that. They might say it through their pearly whites. They might say it in their voice. They might say it in a church meeting, but the walk don't match. The walk don't add up. The walk don't tell you that. And that's what John's talking about. And so what happens if you sin, or if, when we do sin, it affects our fellowship with God. It don't break the sonship, the childship, the familyship. It don't break that, but it breaks the fellowship. And for he is light, verse 7, and in him there is no darkness. Have you ever met someone? Let me just ask you this question. Just keep it to yourself. I'm just asking a question. You can just answer to yourself. But have you ever met a so-called Christian whose walk didn't match their talk? In other words, they said one thing, but their actions did something else. They told you one thing, but then they end up doing something different. Of course you have. We all have. We might have been guilty of it ourselves. You see, there is a huge difference, there's a huge gap between cheap talk and an authentic walk. And John is saying, if you have fellowship, you want fellowship, you got to walk the walk. You want fellowship, you got to walk in the light. You want fellowship, your words have to meet your actions have to meet your words. Verse 7 is saying if we're believers and Christians and followers, then we're to live godly lives. And then when we live godly lives, not only do we have fellowship with the Heavenly Father, but we also, it goes on to say, we have fellowship with one another. As we learned last week, fellowship is more than just having a cup of coffee. We call it fellowship. Fellowship is more than just waving to the neighbor. We've done that. Fellowship is more than just having friends over to your house. There's more to fellowship than that. Now, there's nothing wrong with drinking coffee with somebody. There's nothing wrong with having people at your house. There's nothing wrong with being friendly to your neighbors and waving to them. That's all good and great. You should do that. But fellowship in the Bible, the term means we share, mutually participate in things we have in common. That's what fellowship is. That's what fellowship in the Lord is, when we come together and we simply share things that have deep meaning. The common denominator in Christianity, you ready, is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we have in common. So if you're going to fellowship, then those are the things you fellowship around. Nothing wrong with coffee. Nothing wrong with Pop-Tarts. Nothing wrong with having people over. Nothing wrong with inviting the pastor over for dinner. There's nothing wrong with that. But the bottom line is, what do we have in common? That's fellowship, is when we share deep things that we have in common together. In verse 9 ends, or verse 7 says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses from all sin. Now I want you to look at verse 6. We skipped it, but look at it real quick. And if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, this is scripture, this is not Brother Don, we lie and do not the truth. You know what I love about some of the Bible characters, like John and like Paul, we're studying on Wednesday nights? John is not wishy-washy. John don't mince words. John wasn't trying to win a popularity contest. John simply is not running for some kind of student council or some father of the year or citizen of the neighborhood. No, no, no. He boldly writes in verse 6, if any person, man or woman, teenager, child, if any single one of those people profess one thing, yet practice another thing, his words, not mine, they're liars. That's what John's writing. Spreading understanding, let me just kind of break it down a little bit. Spreading understanding. Those that say one thing and live another, you're a liar. That's John's words. That's not my words. He wrote on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he said, hey, if you say one thing, you ought to do it. Don't say one thing and do something different. And some of them might hear this and they'll go like, now, Brother Don, that's a terrible thing for John to say. Brother Don, that's awful that he would write that. Calling people a liar. What's terrible, what's awful, is when a Christian lives a lie. That's really what's terrible. You don't like that. You don't want someone that's one way to your face and another way to your back. No. So what's really terrible, what's really awful, what's really detestable here is when John says, when someone says one thing and there's no proof in their life. He said, you ought to be, if you say you are fellowship, you say you got to have some light in your life. People that are one way on Sunday, another way on Monday. One way around us and another way around other people. They pretend one thing yet practice another thing. Their walk is counterfeit. It's not real. Their walk misrepresents the Lord, misdirects the lost. That's what happens. Oh, they say they're a Christian, but look what they do, what they say, where they go, what they do. So it misdirects, it misrepresents. John is writing here. As believers, we are followers of Christ. As believers, if we're followers of Christ, don't miss it, we should stick out like sore thumbs in a sick, sensual, sinful world. People ought to look and say, hey, their talk matches their walk. Their walk matches their talk. Their look matches the look. Their conversations matches that. You see, we shouldn't fit in to the world if we're Christians. Because we don't fit in as Christians. We're not to look down on people. We're not to be better than other people. We're not holier than thou people. No, never. We ought to just let our walk. That's his words, not mine. Our conduct, our behavior, our actions. Speak for themselves. Let people see that in us. And that's what he's talking about. Let's pray. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. John is reminding us of who we are. He's reminding us of who we belong to. He reminds us of that DNA from the Lord Jesus Christ to be among us. And to be on this point. So people can see. We don't have to tell them we're Christians. We don't have to tell them that we love Jesus. We don't have to tell them that we're 100% church. They ought to see that in our lives. That DNA is to be in our lives, our walk, our thoughts, our actions, our behavior, our life. Because he's light. There's no darkness. We're to be light, no darkness. You saved today. You know. Important to do because you can't have fellowship with him outside that. And you can't grow and learn and mature outside that. If you're here today and you haven't ever made that decision, today would be a wonderful day to do that. We'll take the Bible and show you what Scripture says. If you can leave here today, know that you're part of God's family. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this book of 1 John. And Father, we thank you for the complete canon of Scripture. Complete word of God, put our faith in our trust in. We thank you, Lord, that we can trust it. We can believe it. We can depend on it. Father, we pray that we would have joy in this life, despite circumstances. And the Father, that we would simply represent you in a worthy manner. You deserve it. We pray, God, you speak to hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand. The room is going to lead us in an invitation. If we can help you this morning, you come.
Thank you so much for your attention this morning. Appreciate the opportunity to always get to